Hi, this is Robert Wickens from Canada, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 475, December 2nd, 2010. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by the 2011 Motorsports Memories Americana Calendar. Get it on our homepage or drop us an email. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Maldonado is confirmed at Williams. Fernando Alonso, so happy beating Massa. And will Vettel blow Weber away in 2011? And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. I'm Steve. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Coping with the off-season. Of course, now we have the holiday season coming upon us, which is a bit hectic for some of us here in Northern California. But there's still some streaming Formula One news as everybody is resting and reflecting on the 2010 season, I should say.
Well, trying to get all their ducks in a row before they take holiday, and it looks like Williams is all set for next season.
Yes, of course, the 2011 teams and drivers was announced, and there's still a lot of TBAs on the list.
Yes.
And one of them, of course, was alongside our friend, the two-legged Rubinho. But now, and I mean, we talked about this, we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much knew it was coming after.
Venezuelan money pouring into the Williams paddock.
Woohoo!
And of course, Pastor Maldonado will be driving alongside Rubens Barrichello. And
so they're going to probably end up sixth again next year.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, Maldonado's not a bad driver, and he did win the world championship. Unlike Nico Hülkenberg, who won the GP2 championship in his first year, it took Maldonado a few years, but he's done it. He's a decent driver. His testing went well. And on top of that, he brings lots of money. So it's a win-win situation, I think, for Williams, where they still have Rubens Barrichello, who will perform well if the package is good.
Right.
So I think, in the end, it was the right thing to do for Williams. These days, money is hard to come by. They're losing a number of big sponsors, including Philips.
Well, they're basically losing their top three in Philips, AT&T, and
RBS.
And RBS, so they need it.
Yeah, so it's a responsibility, really, to stay afloat. And the biggest test is, okay, so you have great drivers, you finish higher up in the championship, would get you more money, or you go with drivers that aren't so great, but they bring money, but then you finish lower in the championship and get less money.
Yeah, well, what you hope for in the fact that you have a driver that brings you money is that they will give you the cash for development so that you can make your drivers better by having a better package.
And true, and finish higher in the championship.
Kind of those juggling acts where you're really trying to, you know.
And it's a tough, tough act to accomplish in Formula One, certainly. But Maldonado said, quote, "I feel very privileged that Williams has selected moi as one of their race drivers. It's a great way to end what has already been an amazing year for me. I tested with a team in Abu Dhabi Can't wait to start working with everyone properly to be in the best possible shape going into the next season. I will be doing my best over the winter to prepare myself, and I know the team will be working hard to ensure a successful season. And of course, this will be the first time in 30 years that we have a Venezuelan driver in Formula One. So that's pretty exciting, and I'm sure NASCAR will have more about that historical significance. On another front, Fernando Alonso did an interview and doing a number of interviews in España. You know, I mean, he lives in Switzerland, but I'm sure he's on holiday talking to the press and basking in the fact that, okay, he didn't win the championship, but it wasn't really his fault. So he feels pretty good with himself. He knew that Ferrari blew it in terms of strategy in the final race.
And even the strategy, you know, it was kind of a blown call there, but even if they'd played it right, he still might not have finished far enough up to have defeated Vettel's number.
Correct. I mean, you don't know what would have happened. But still, he's pretty comfortable. And he was really happy that...
he thumped his teammate?
He thumped his teammate, but, I mean...
That was pretty much expected.
Well, I don't know. If Massa has a good year, it could have been a lot tighter. But he beat his teammate by 108 points at the end of the day.
Wasn't really. You got to flip a little bit of that because, you know, he did give Fernando the win in Germany.
You didn't hear what the radio said?
He's faster than you. Yeah, right. Well, pass me if you're faster than me. Come on.
No reason to get excited, Stephen. This is the way it is. So Fernando, pretty happy.
At Ferrari.
He says, it's probably the biggest gap that I have ever had to a teammate, and that makes me happy because of the results that I've had over the past years. My level of driving is better than ever, and I hope I can keep it up next year. So Fernando's got reasons. I mean, he's exactly in the kind of team he wants to be and really performs at his best is when he's number one. There's a defined number two. The team is supporting him for the championship pretty much from the beginning. And
he's getting buku bucks.
And he gets paid well to boot.
Exactly.
So I think that's pretty cool. I'm happy for Fernando.
So he's probably missing his Megan.
Probably missing. Well, he might. But still, the big question is what does Massa have to do next year to keep his seat? But he seems fairly comfortable. And, you know, the rumors around Felipe Massa have been running rampant for a number of years now.
Yeah, I don't think Felipe is really in danger unless he completely tanks. You know, this past season was not a good season for him. And, you know, he, you know, Ferrari could have been in a much better position going into that last race if Felipe managed to perform a little bit better in a few of the races, but we'll see how things shake out next year. You know, he was, you know, this close to winning the championship a couple of years ago, so.
Well, he did win the championship for a millisecond.
Yeah, well.
Until Timo Glock messed up.
Yeah, until Timo got slippery.
So, very interesting, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. I don't think Felipe Massa could have a worse season. So certainly he should be a little bit more competitive. And of course, with all the new rules next year and KERS and flexi wing in the back, the adjustable rear wing should be interesting and no F-duct. Felipe Massa might be feeling better. And of course, Montezemolo is also predicting that there's going to be nothing but trouble with this.
With the new regs.
With the new regs, with the new adjustable rear wing. And he says it's going to be similar to the rear diffuser. So, you know, we've got a lot of excitement ahead of us. So we do need this lull to build up for March. Trust me, Stephen. Moving on to Renault. Of course, they have only confirmed Robert Kubica.
And Vitaly was very upset.
He was perturbed.
To not be on the official entrance list.
Exactly. He wasn't on the entry list. And there are a few drivers, including Toro Rosso drivers, that are not on the entry list. And there's reasons for that. There's still time to make these important decisions.
also time to make deals with sponsors to, you know, get money for a specific driver, too.
Exactly. They might ask Petrov to get more money from more vodka.
Well, might be an issue with Petrov in that his check hadn't cleared in time for him to get on the entrance list.
Very, very, very possible, but come on, let's face it. He's in. He brings too much Russian. Now with the Russian Grand Prix coming up in Sochi, it's inevitable.
But he's not the only Russian in racing anymore.
I know that. That's true, which is hard to believe, but there you have it. And there's more young guns coming through the ranks, moving slowly up to Formula One, especially next year's GP2 and GP3 season. Should be quite interesting. But Renault said about Petrov, it's not a done deal yet. As much as we have been happy during the course of the season, we were a little bit disappointed with the results coming towards the end of the season. The one criticism we had of him, and still have to some extent, is not his pure speed, but his ability to put together a whole weekend in a very focused and concentrated way. If anything, in Abu Dhabi, he showed that if he wants to, he can. There is no reason why Vitaly can't be a top 5 or 6 driver throughout his career, but we haven't made a final decision. So they're going to just make him sweat a little bit and see what's available. Maybe
get him to go out and get a couple more rubles to line the coffers.
Exactly, but... You know, I mean, Vitaly Petrov is lucky to be able to get a seat with a top team.
Oh, yeah. And we know Renault's top 5, and the way they were looking towards the end of the season could significantly, you know, could be in the hunt next year.
I agree. I mean...
Next year could just be one of those, we thought this season was crazy. Next year could be even worse, because we could have 5 or 6 teams...
Hunting.
Challenging.
Absolutely. It's going to be very fascinating, and of course, I think... The new Red Bull will be the car to watch. Sebastian Vettel will be the one to beat, of course, because he's the new champion. But still,
well, the way Red Bull pretty much dominated the season, outside the fact that they had a lot of trouble finishing races, but you know, the number of poles and front rows they locked out this season was just incredible.
No, and I don't think it's going to be any different next year. Now we'll see what happens, what kind of curve system they come up with. Whether they get a Renault KERS or they develop their own, which I'm sure everybody is slaving over.
Yeah, and if I'm somebody like Red Bull who didn't have one last time.
Exactly.
I would be seriously in negotiations with the likes of Renault or one of the other top, 5 teams that had them to procure mine through them rather than trying to develop one from scratch, because that's just not a simple system. Just slap together.
I understand. And there'll be a variety of different systems. And of course, Williams announcing that they're going to go with the battery system when originally I think they were going with some kind of flywheel. But still, there are a number of ways of saving the energy and we'll see what happens.
Storing it and then putting it back into the powertrain, which is a real pain in the butt because you're talking about extra weight, because an electric motor isn't light.
No, and that's the biggest issue. It's the weight of the system. And, of course, drivers like Robert Kubica and Mark Webber, who are taller and heavier, are the whiners at B. They're going to complain about this for a while because they're going to be penalized.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Robert had a heck of a time in the BMW, and Mark hasn't had that opportunity yet, but I'm sure he will.
Now, remember the talk of the town about how many drivers were losing so much weight in 2009 to deal with this handicap.
Well, Robert Kubica being one who lost a significant amount of weight to try to, you know, lighten his car.
Yeah, so that's going to be very, very interesting. Another young driver signed was Daniel Ricciardo, who's Australian. He's been signed by Toro Rosso as their third and reserve driver, but they haven't signed Buemi or Alguersuari yet.
It seems kind of odd that you would sign your reserve driver first.
Well, because you want to lock him in. This kid's shown some talent. Toro Rosso has always been looking at young talent. And not surprising. This kid's going to be good.
And see, if Toro Rosso can give anybody a drive, why don't they give Paul DeResta a shot?
Well, Paul DeResta is coming up. But still, I thought this was a good move for Toro Rosso. And we'll see what happens. I don't think that Buemi is going to be re-signed. I think it's going to be Jaime Alguersuari and
somebody else. Somebody
new and fresh. Speaking of new and fresh, apparently it's Heikki Kovalainen and Jarno Trulli back.
Well, Heikki's back from his ROC injuries.
Oh, of course, which was exciting. Very little coverage here of the ROC in the United States.
It'll probably show up on HD Theater.
Exactly, at the end of the month. You're right. And we'll finally
we usually see that one significantly later.
Of course, Loeb getting beat. And, of course, Schumacher and Vettel keeping the Nations Cup for the Fatherland.
For Germany.
Yeah, so I was happy to hear that. Kamui Kobayashi, he is looked upon as the inspiration to Peter Sauber. He brings excitement to, I'm not even sure what it's, I hope it's just Sauber next year. Yeah,
or, well, it should be Sauber Ferrari because of the motor.
But I know, but, you know, that's...
Well, I think it will be, well, the BMW will be gone.
Yes.
They're off the entry list. I still don't understand that whole thing. Does it mean that, you know, BMW is still going to get a cut of
Sauber? Because you get penalized if you change your name during the season. It's one of those Bernie things.
But they changed the teams before they even started.
You're just going to have to get over it, Steve.
I know.
But Kamui inspires us all, says Peter Sauber. His refreshing attacking style really puts a smile on your face. I love that line. His refreshing attacking style really puts a smile on your face. You can tell from reactions in the stands that the Formula One fans love him too. His overtaking moves are always great to watch. However, it would be doing him an injustice to only focus on this aspect of his driving. Kamui is also a very clever driver and understands how to put a predefined strategy into action. He's progressed wonderfully well this year, and I'm certain that there's more to come from Kamui in the future. So, pretty good stuff. I know Peter Sauber put up with a lot of criticism signing such a not well-known driver. But there you have it. Kamui has proved himself, and I like his style. I would prefer to see Kamui over at Renault, Petrov go to Sauber.
Yeah, definitely. You know, be a lot more exciting. More support for Robert, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be fun. It'd be... Bish bosh bashy! Moving on, Peter Sauber also denying that Telmex or Carlos Slim, the billionaire of billionaires, is going to buy into the team, even though Peter Sauber has stated before, by the time he's 70... he does not want to be running a Formula One team. He's 67 now, so we'll see how it happens. But they did sign Sergio Perez, who's sponsored by Telmex. So Telmex is definitely
in the mix.
In the mix, in the paddock, peering. And it's going to be exciting to see Sergio Perez perform at the Formula One level alongside Kamui Kobayashi. I think that's going to be fun. And let's go right to Paul DeResta, which I know Nasser will have more news in Motorsports Mondial, of course, winning the DTM Championship. Very exciting stuff. And, of course, he's been the test driver for Force India and reserve driver, but he really wants this seat. And apparently he's been caught praying, literally, on his hands and knees for this Formula One seat. But I mean, Norbert Haug is rooting for him. A lot of people are hoping that Paul DeResta gets this, and I think he deserves it. It's great stuff. He won the DTM Championship last week in Shanghai. It was very exciting. And he says, I'm certainly hoping I can get a seat there next year, meaning Force India, because I'd love to continue a long relationship with them, meaning Force India. My dream is to become Formula One world champion. And that's the next box in my book I've got to kick off. I'll keep praying it happens. So lots of prayer, and this is going to be at the expense of Vitantonio Liuzzi. Vitantonio had a lot of inconsistencies this
year. Well, it's pretty much been his Formula One career. You know, we've seen flashes exactly. of brilliance, but
and
on
is,
the whole, he's very inconsistent. He's typically not really fighting for much.
He's a brilliant driver, won a lot of karting championships, was phenomenally fast when he was a ute. But it's just not panned out for him. And maybe because he was teammates to
Scott Speed.
I don't know. Maybe that was a bad influence. But Antonio Liuzzi just hasn't been able to put it together in a pretty decent car this year. Even though Adrian Sutil didn't have a great season either, I think Adrian is a better driver. He's proved he's a better driver. They're powered by Mercedes. Mercedes likes German drivers. There you have it. And DTM is a German series. Paul DeRussa has won this wonderful series, and I think it's a great series, and I hope they do mix it up here with the Sprint Cup series. But still, I think we'll see Paul DeRussa at Force India next year. So there you have it. A lot of exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting. I think we're going to hear more about the regs and how some teams are going to adapt better than others. And I think, obviously, Red Bull is going to adapt fairly well. I expect McLaren to adapt fairly well. Ferrari has to because they have Fernando.
Yeah, and considering the challenges that Ferrari ran into with their curve system and the way it affected the performance of the car, they definitely need to do something better this time around.
Yes. And
not only that, but we're looking at cars that now are going to be, A, weighted down with a KERS system.
And full
starting
fuel
the, Exactly. Right. Starting the race with a full fuel load.
Exactly.
Starting on soft tires may not be your best option because now they're going to last even less because of all that weight.
Well, the biggest problem is Pirelli is talking about mixing it up. Meaning, once again, we'll come back to Canada. 2010, what happened with the Bridgestone tire made for a great show.
Yeah.
And Pirelli wants to bring this to every race, but with the heavy cars, full fuel, like you said, heavy curve system, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. You know, there is some risk involved in that, too, playing around with the tires going two compound gap in the hardness of the tires. Yeah, it kind of created some fun. It was very interesting, but when they tried it again, it was really ineffective. I think the reason why it was so exciting the first time is because it was new, and everybody was kind of playing different strategies, so some of them worked and some of them didn't.
And it was unexpected, and that's what happens when you try to emulate the unexpected. It doesn't seem to work out as well.
No, we've seen, just go and look at the first race of this past season. When everybody was so conservative in Bahrain because of the full fuel loads and all the issues around that and how dull that race was because everybody was,
exactly.
They didn't want to make a mistake.
I agree. And we'll see. I mean, we'll get a little bit clearer vision when testing comes up next year in Barcelona, but it's going to be fascinating.
Yes, it will be very interesting.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be coming back with Motorsports Mondial and the King of Karachi himself back from Abu Dhabi. So we'll be back after this brief message from CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com.
Attention music lovers, there's a website that will take you back to the music of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Check out CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com and relive some favorites. Every day, a new album is posted for your musical pleasure. There's everything from current hits to some off-the-wall titles. You'll find artists ranging from the Sex Pistols to Tom Waits. Something for everybody. So come visit CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com That's coolalbumoftheday.com.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mundial and the Karachi Kid himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and musical regards from Toto Cutugno, and my personal NyQuil regards to everybody since I'm a little bit under the weather. But it's good to see you again, Mr. Rogers and Mr. Pfau. In Motorsports Mondial, Iron Curtain falls on Nando, hence no trace of red or blue on Mr. Rogers' wardrobe today. And we shall talk about it too. Two in a row for Eduardo and 48 goals, five in a row. Did you see Jimmy Johnson's fifth championship in a row?
Of course. It was exciting. And the amount of hot dogs I ate that day is just a sin to even speak about.
Wow. And the Kleenex box had to be refilled.
All the quality American products that I am so deeply proud of.
Yes. And the big show is in Vegas, the prize-giving ceremony.
Of course. Where else would it be?
Yes. On Speed TV.
Yeah.
Okay. But we start today with a new segment. Sponsored and sprinkles by Morton's and called Salt in the Wound. You know where this is going. Nando's going for Tercero in the red machine, sees nothing but red alert ahead. And I was thinking of you, Mr. Rogers, when the chase was on. I'm not talking about the NASCAR chase here. Kubica from Polonia playing his Warsaw Concerto, a tune no longer played in Oviedo. It's been banned. And Vitaly Petrov from Russia with love and lots of rubles keeps his comrade warm, which makes Nando muy caliente. Both were driving what brought Nando his two championships. So, Mr. Rogers, is this tainted love, or do you still have a soft sell for both the team and driver of the red machine?
I like Fernando Alonso, but I'm a Renault fan.
No,
yeah. Blue.
Really?
Yes, it's Robert Kubica for the World Championship next year.
Were you pleased that the Renaults held him back?
Yeah, I am pleased that they're coming back. I'm interested on what kind of color scheme they'll have next year. But still, and then there's this Lotus Renault thing going on. But still, no, Robert Kubica is going to be exciting. Of course, they haven't signed Vitaly Petrov yet. We talked about that in the first part of the program. But I'm sure he is a shoe-in, just like Pastor Maldonado, they both went to the same ETF.
Yes. Yeah, and the limit was a lot more than $400
yeah.
there. Okay, a serious close call for Alonso, just like 2007. Italian media is calling for heads to roll in Maranello, but I think Ferrari and Fernando still did a great job coming so close in the machine. That was no match for Red Bull.
Absolutely.
So kudos to Nando for that.
Fernando did an outstanding job, especially at the end of the season when it was important to take the test.
Yes, and Mark Webber was also lost when it mattered most, but I'm sure they did not finish where they did by choice. Three world champions on the podium, the youngest, the outgoing, and the outgoing world champion. The outgoing youngest and the outgoing world champion. This was very interesting. This great season began with what was called Bahrain Grand Prix to come to an end where it all started in the sands of Arabia. Now let me ask you a question. Were you surprised when they pitted Mr. Nando?
Well, no. What happened was, you know, they got caught up in the whole thing, and it was really, they got fooled by, they were focused too much on Mark Webber, thinking that he was the one that they needed to fight. And Vettel, in his little camouflaged car, just sailed away with the championship.
Yeah. You know, this reminded
me. They neglected the most important part.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminded me so much of two races from 2007. One was the Chinese Grand Prix when Hamilton was, I believe, was leading. And at one time, because his tires were going away, he was losing 2-3 seconds a lap to Kimi Raikkonen. and they still kept him out. And I remember there was a lap where he lost like 7 seconds, and they still kept him on the track for another lap or two.
And then he almost loses it going to the pits.
Yes, and you know, the kitty litter was very, very serious cat scratch fever that day. So that was the end of his championship. And the other race was like the final race in 2007, you know. I remember watching with an English friend and a Spanish friend, and they were both asking me, who's going to be world champion? And I said, Dad, I don't know, but I do know that Kimi Räikkönen is going to win the race. So it will, I just had an inkling that, you know, he will win. And then it all depends where Hemi and Nando finishes. The same thing in this race, you know. And what really surprised me, when they normally, Nando was running ahead of Weber anyway, okay? So if the other guy drops or makes a pit stop, you keep going because you can build more of a cushion so you can do a quick stop and go.
Well, I thought the key of the race was the safety car and the drivers that pitted early, of course, like Vitaly Petrov, who didn't have to pit again, hence the problem with Fernando being stuck behind for the rest of the race.
Now, he was behind him for a long time. I really thought sooner or later Petrov was going to do what Petrov does.
But he was in a Renault.
Well, he has crashed in Renaults, too.
That's true, but Petrov finally found the light. I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah.
Maybe Putin got on the cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Pressed the button. What happens when Putin speaks?
Oh, yeah.
Vitaly performs.
Oh, yes. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for him, Vitaly, next year. I think he'll retain his seat.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. This was a... All he needed, I have to say, you know, I'm very surprised. Here is a guy, and this is, you know, why hard to understand about Formula One. Vitaly Petrov could never run with Hülkenberg in GP2, nor with Romain Grosjean, and nor could Kobayashi, nor could Buemi. Okay? These people are never any match for Hülkenberg and Romain Grosjean. Romain Grosjean did very few races in Formula One, but if you look at how Petrov has done, and especially Kobayashi, and these people have really stepped up.
Absolutely. Not only that, but there really isn't anybody out there good enough to replace Vitaly Petrov at Renault that's available.
Hülkenberg.
That would be a gamble. And Hülkenberg brings no money. Hence the replacement at Williams. Even though I believe Hülkenberg will become the reserve driver at Mercedes.
Well, I hear they're trying to get him into Force India, which is a pretty decent car.
It's a pretty decent car, but the problem is you have Paul DiResta praying on his hands and knees for that seat. Adrian Sutil, I think, is a shoe-in and will retain his seat.
What about your favorite Liuzzi?
If Antonio Liuzzi will be slinging a pizza pie in Maranello.
Yeah, that's another... you know, I think I mentioned some years ago on the podcast, I have it's an old magazine, and there's a big... article, not just a small, you know, news brief about how Jean Todt has beaten everybody to signing with Antonio Liuzzi to a Ferrari contract. I mean, it's a pretty sad thing. The guy won karting world championship, dominated the last season of Formula 3000. I think he won the first 6-7 races same year Michael Schumacher was winning everything in 2004. And then since then, it's just like, you know, serious crash and burn kind of situation.
Once you get to the top of the pinnacle, things are a little different.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as Sebastian Vettel is concerned, it's disappointing, obviously, for all those who did not win. But, I mean, you know, when he first joined Mark Webber as a teammate, there was an interview, both of them were sitting. And, you know, he's still very young, and he just, you know, had that babyish face and smile that was just, like, full of confidence, you know. And I'll never forget what he said first thing. He goes, the first person you have to beat is your teammate. And once you have that confidence and you can deliver, then you know, you are on your way. And it would have been great to see Mark Webber win, coming so close, but that his Korean kimchi or the Korean crisis really put a big dent,
absolutely
irreparable dent to his championship chances.
Absolutely.
And talking of Mr. Pastor Maldonado, I was able to run into him in Abu Dhabi during qualifying on Saturday. Actually, his race had just ended and he was trying to cool down. He was looking very frustrated because his car had conked out. So I had a brief conversation with him, and I have some serious warning that he will be signed up with Williams team, but I didn't ask him because, you know, he's not going to tell me what's happening. But let's see how far he goes. We, of course, wish him all the best.
Absolutely.
But it's you know, sign of the times that a driver who wins a GP2 title in his rookie year is out of a ride to a driver who took 4 years to win the championship. But then again, you know, Pastor Maldonado could pull out a Kobayashi, and I hope he does for its sake and his people, Venezuela, that he can put on a good performance and step up to the plate and make a good career out of it.
Well, exactly. And in defense of Maldonado, maybe Hulkenberg got to Formula One too quickly by winning the championship in GP2 quickly in one season. Boom, he was in Formula One. Maldonado, having the time, those few years, being in GP2, knowing how to fight for a championship, also test driving occasionally in Formula One, this could be an advantage.
Yeah, and I read somewhere today that he won like 6 races in a row this year. So Maldonado has, you know, paid his dues, and, you know, we wish him all the best. And let's see how it goes. But, you know, talking of Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, this was a trip sans media credentials. No media credentials this time, but there'll be other times, hopefully. And I was staying with my friend in Dubai. He took me there on Friday and Saturday. Saturday, I was there at the track most of the day. And my very special thanks to my friend, Mr. Olivier Mann, who he got me a paddock pass to the GP2. Now, the facility, anything and everything between, once you get to Dubai and Abu Dhabi, any building, any infrastructure you see is first class. Driving skills on the road is another story. They have some interesting buildings. You know, the tallest building is there. And then there is a building in the shape of like a circle, you know, nothing but glass. And very close to the track, and the track itself is an amazing facility. And interestingly, the GP2 pit lane is separate, at a separate area of the track than the F1 pit lane. So I was kind of surprised. So I watched the Formula One qualifying from the GP2 pit lane. And that was first time it happened. It was very, very cool. And I got to meet Jules Bianchi and his Mama and Papito also. And I ran into some other people, did a little bit, you know, world professional, great people, so we're not going to go and do interviews when we are not supposed to, so I didn't do that. But I did run into Marcus Ericsson, you know, who's in GP2, Swedish driver, and I ran into his manager, Mr. Kenny Brack also. And then I met this kid who did very well this year in GP2, Sam Bird from England, and he is now part of the young Mercedes driver program, so he should be all right. And I met one of the partners of his management team also. So that was interesting. He told me, if I'm in jolly old England, I'm welcome for an interview with this gentleman. So we'll, you know, keep plugging and see what happens. How did the race look to you on TV?
It was exciting. I love it. I mean, Yas Marina, it's beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
It looks fantastic on television.
Yeah, I tried to go there on Sunday if I could buy tickets. And what happened, you know, they have all this website called dobizzle.com. It's like a local eBay type. People buy and sell. And I cut a deal with this guy to buy tickets. And he says, call me when you're within like 2 minutes from where I am. So I go with my friend. I call the guy. He says, yeah, I'll meet you downstairs. And I said, thanks. A guy calls me back and says, oh, my friend is not here. I can't give you the tickets. So I said, what kind of nonsense is this? So, but these things happen, you know.
Even in Abu Dhabi?
Even in Abu Dhabi and Dubai and Damascus and Djibouti. So, but it was great, you know. And also, I took a nonstop flight from San Francisco to Dubai. 16 hours in the friendly skies. And I took a lot of racing magazines, so I really enjoyed the flight. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's a long haul. It's a
now
long haul.
Did you choose the pat-down? Or the scanner.
You know, they can do whatever they want, so it doesn't bother me. But I saw the other day some lady went up to the scanning thing or whatever, checkpoint in a bikini. Now, that's something I will not do for sure. Then they will really arrest me.
Exactly. Yeah. So keep up the good work. I'm glad everything worked out for you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And right now, once I'm totally 100% up and running, I'm going to start planning for my next agenda. I want to go to Monaco. And you know, the interesting thing is this gentleman who invited me there, Richard Turton of Fortec, if he keeps his deal, fine. If not, I'll still try to go there on my own. Because I want to see Paul Ricoeur, I want to go to Dijon, which is not too far. But interestingly, one of his, hopefully soon to be drivers in one of his teams is also a friend of mine. So there'll be like a double connection there, you know. So let's see how things pan out. You probably heard that Santander is out, bailing out of McLaren.
Of course. I mean, we knew that was going to happen. The only reason why they were at McLaren is for Fernando Alonso.
They wrote the check for Nando, $15 million.
They always write the check, and that's how this is working.
Yeah. I sure would like to know, as to, you know, he had a three-year contract, I think at $15 million a year. What I just would like to know the financial settlement.
You want me to give him a call for you?
Yeah, will he take your call?
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. We text all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now you're talking. Okay, Mark Webber may have lost out on the championship, but has been named as the highest paid Aussie sportsman ahead of Chad Reed, who races motocross here in the US, and also Casey Stoner. And I think I'm really looking forward to MotoGP next year. Casey Stoner on a Honda and Doctor on a Ducati. That'll be something.
A lot of good things to look forward to next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark made over $13 million, and I wonder how much of that came from Peter Brazier drinking Victoria Bitter and Foster's at Weber's restaurant, The Stag, near his palatial English estate. You should go and have lunch with Mr. Brazier at the Stag someday.
I'll do that.
It's a beautiful part of England.
If the budget allows it, if we sell enough calendars, I'm off.
Oh, wow. Okay, now we go to DTM. Paul Di Resta, your hero, is the new champion, and fellow Brit Gary Paffer won the Street Festival in Shanghai. DC was 8th and his buddy Ralf Schumacher 10th. And talking of Gary Paffer, you know, some years ago when I was at Mugello with our old friend, Mr. Mo Manzoor, he introduced me to Gary Paffert's Pepito. And I am told by a different source, pretty level source, that Gary Paffert almost had a ride with Sauber some years ago, but his manager insisted for more money and cost Paffert the drive. So, you know, it's tough at the top. Lonely and tough. Okay, you probably got a tweet, and Scott Speed has given a tweet after getting a "Don't call us, we'll call you" from Red Bull. Hopefully we'll see him in an IndyCar. So Red Bull has given him the shaft twice. Once on the other side of the pond, once on this side of the pond. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. Well, you know, for road races to go into, if your goal and interest were never in NASCAR, you shouldn't go there.
No, and he wasn't even very effective in NASCAR on the road circuits. I don't think he ever got the grips with the bigger, heavy car.
Yeah, so I hope he makes it to IndyCar racing and makes him. You don't think that will happen?
I don't think so.
No, I think he's going to a track. Well, Outlaws.
Woo, World of Outlaws. That's what the symbols are. W-O-O. Woo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a woo-woo song.
Yeah.
I don't think they play that on the tracks at Allura.
Yeah, but they play, I think they race in his hometown.
Yeah. Manteca?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Manteca and also the other place, Altamar.
Well, that's one of our early interviews, huh?
Oh, yes. With his mom and grandmother?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very kind of them to give us
time. That was a long time ago, man.
Yeah. And we met at this restaurant, right?
Yeah, it was in
Manteca,
places.
Right? Yeah.
Manteca. The eggs were great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Fish off the farm.
Now we come to Macau Grand Prix. Italian Eduardo Mortara became the first driver to win the F3 race 2 years in a row. Lawrence Venthoor of Belgium was second, and Valtteri Bottas of Finlandia third. And talking of Bottas, he will race in GP3 next year with ART team. NASCAR number 48, Jimmy Johnson. You know, I have one of my co-workers, and he's a big fan of NASCAR and a big fan of Jimmy Johnson. So he's smiling all day.
I'm really happy for you, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so I can talk motorsports with somebody at work. Okay, Jimmy Johnson is now in the Michael Schumacher program, 5 championships in a row. Congratulations to the man from El Cajon in Cali, near San Diego. And of course, Michael Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel gave Germany like 4th consecutive victory. And
at
then
the race of champions?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So,
I think it's their 3rd.
Third?
Yeah. Let's not get excited now.
You sure?
Yeah, we always want to give the Germans a little extra.
Okay.
Especially when it's Michael Schumacher. It's like, well, hasn't he won everyone since time began?
Exactly. You know, and I was surprised to see Loeb lose.
Huh? And Mr. Kovalainen had a crash.
He had a big crash. He's still recovering. He's at home, and he's bedridden.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I heard he's on the Vicks NyQuil program.
Oh, wow. Sleep well tonight.
Well, he listens to the podcast, and those medical tips from you are always extremely handy during this sniffling cough and cold season.
The dreaded, is not sniffling.
I call it the dreaded California winter.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're so suffering here.
Well, at least I am. And also, you know, there was the news item, I think it was a race in Dubai, the Dubai Autodrome motorcycle race, and the guy who won, he was like slowing down and somebody rammed him from behind and he got killed. That was pretty sad, and something like this happened at Laguna Seca many years ago. That's why I hate when, especially in motorcycles, when they do a burnout on the track. Because, you know, if somebody's coming, it's very dangerous.
It is very dangerous, but these things happen in motorsports.
Yes, they do. So what else you have in mind, sir? Anything exciting while I was gone?
Nothing exciting now, sir.
Danica Patrick didn't call you?
No, Danica didn't call me, and, you know, it's a struggle to put pro podcasts together in this slow season, but we're going to do it.
How is Desiree Patrick doing?
She's doing just fine. So thanks a lot for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. I hope you feel better.
Me too, sir.
Next
thank
week
you
for the program. And of course, I think we still have a few interviews in the can.
Yes.
That haven't materialized yet.
Yeah. And talking of interviews, I did interview one person outside the track. So we're in compliance with rules and regulations.
Yes. FOM has dictated some rules to F1 Weekly.
Yes.
About our interviews in the paddock. And we have to change some of our whereabouts.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, we will comply with their instructions and requests.
We have to.
And it was all done in a very civil manner, I must say.
It was very civilized. Yeah,
so we're still on first name basis.
Just pretty much.
Yes. But I did had a chat with this homie who was racing in Dubai, Umair Khan, and I met him also. So my thanks to him and all the people. Actually, I met a couple of local racers also. And Arabian races, and one of them told me that he listens to a podcast, IT podcast from San Francisco every day. I said, hey, how about a motorsports podcast? So I gave him the F1Weekly.com, and I said, if you get hijacked to a different website, just try it 10 hours later.
Well, and make sure did you tell him to buy millions and millions of calendars? Because that's
No, they're on a different calendar program, so.
Darn.
Yeah, such is our luck.
They're pretty pictures.
It's the pictures, Nass.
Yes.
Your salesmanship is lacking.
I know, it is.
Anyway, thank you very much for another great Motorsports Mondial. Please, go back to the clinic and get some rest.
Ricola!
We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Jerome D'Ambrosio, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Hello, my name is Adrian Tuck, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now let's go right to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
This week's forum updates from Koala. Thank you, Koala. The 2010 season may be over, but the forum is as active as ever. What has happened to the F1 silly season? As Bumgarner fan identified in his thread, what a lame silly season. All the main drivers are signed, and the only interesting name being thrown around is the Hulk. Although Gladden every Aussie heart in a Raptor in his thread, want an Aussie breathing down your neck? Drive for STR. Discusses the news of Daniel Ricciardo's appointment as test reserve driver at Toro Rosso. The consensus was that Wemmy needs to be careful, and that if Ricciardo does well, he could be looking for a seat at Red Bull when Mark Webber retires. But you mean Mark's not on the Rubens Barrichello plan and going to race for another 20 years?
No, he's a smart man. He just wants to win that one championship and leave.
Exactly. Active F1 and racing topic threads are too numerous to cover fully, but have included discussions on the Tots comment in respect to overtaking and the possibility of evaluating a circuit in terms of its potential for spectacle before homologating it Driver aids and track design were the major areas discussed by forum members, with a wide variety of options variations discussed to improve races through though things did start to deteriorate a little when Jay Caruso suggested spikes 5 feet off the curb and lap traffic sprinklers and water cannons on the corners. Yep, I suppose it is the silly season. Other topics include Bernie Ecclestone's mugging in London. Was he really wearing $200,000 worth of jewelry or not? The Lotus name controversy. Eddie Jordan and his BBC commentary. Formula 2. The Australian V8 Supercar Series, DTM, and World Rally Championships. Of course, following tradition, the forum also celebrates the silly season and regular threads, such as the Countryside thread, are in full discussion mode, covering a wide range of topics, including British royalty and that engagement, Jackson's dog, Penny, Dr. Mark F's pictures of the Suffolk coast. He is on holidays yet again. See, Hassan also posted some French holiday happy snaps. And Android-Apple debate is also continued. It can't be too long before Ye resurrects the baked beans thread, which has been dormant for some time. That's it for this forum update. If you are a regular podcast listener and have not had a look at the forum, why not drop by for a look? We are a friendly bunch, and there is always and usually a lively discussion on a variety of topics underway. Thank you, Koala. That was a very comprehensive forum update.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, the forum is active even during the off season with almost 900 members.
Of course, Bernie was wearing $200,000 worth of jewelry. He's got to get an insurance claim out of being mugged. Come on.
Not only that, but you can have a watch that's worth $200,000 these days.
Well, especially if you're Bernie Ecclestone.
Exactly.
Hell, his cell phone is probably worth $200,000.
Probably. Anyway, let's move right along. The, of course, new 2011 Motorsports Memories Calendar Americana is now on sale. Please buy two or three every day.
3 weeks for Christmas. Till Christmas. Come on.
Yep, it's time.
Get your orders in now.
There you have it. CoolAlbumOfTheDay.com. Check it out. You know you want to. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention my friends, San Francisco Formula One Group, SFF1.com. During the season, these guys have great gatherings. Check them out at their website. And it's always fun activity to be around fellow F1 fans. We want to mention our Spacebook.
Ooh, is that a new one?
I just started it. Yeah, Facebook and Twitter. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote any of your wonderful inventions or products on our program, simply email me at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.